welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Okay, Saturdays are for the hot stove. Thanks for joining us. Every Saturday we try to hit you with a hot stove format, catching up on the news and events of the league in season and off season, and usually a second show during the off season. Sometimes we get a little slack and having a little fun doing our draft analysis. Chris, leading off the show, I'd just like to say encourage people get out there to the free mock sites like Fantasy Football Calculator, Fantasy Draft Wizard. Start getting used to some of these player rankings that you see and watch where guys are going.
Yeah, and do a little bit of draft prep if you want, NFL draft that is, or you can wait till the day of. But we've talked about it. We really like Greg Cassell. We like Matt Waldman. There's a lot of guys out there who, some better than others, but there's a lot of information out there about these guys, and it's good to know about them a little bit ahead of time.
It's good that name recognition gets you in there, gets you comfortable. You don't get overwhelmed that way. Everyone's got a different amount of time they spend on fantasy football, and so don't get in a situation where you're feeling like, I just can't figure it out. There's so many frigging guys out there. Like you said, tap into a couple key resources, and of course, we'll try to help you out as well. And as far as the mock draft sites that are out there that are free, I do get questions once in a while about folks saying, oh man, I keep signing up for drafts. There's four or five computers and there's not even a full draft, or there's two knuckleheads that don't know what they're doing. And I always answer the same way, don't worry about that. That's fine. Still go through the draft. You are going to pick the best player on the board every time for your team as you try to build your roster construction. Try to react to bad picks, take advantage of them, react to good picks. What do you do? But the number one thing to me is it always gets you that great comfort and confidence where guys are, and you can kind of adapt on the fly, because that's what it's really about. How fast can you adjust your draft plans in, say, 3 minutes as you're watching a round go by?
Yeah, and we've harped on this for a really, really long time, is that you can't really be fazed by anything, and you shouldn't be shuffling paper around at the last minute. Try to have a plan for just about everything. I think that it's pretty imperative that you kind of have that under control rather than being down or dissuaded by someone else's draft pick.
Spot on. And like I said, one of my tips, of course, I put out there is, always have, when you're three picks away, you should have six guys you're comfortable picking there. And that way you're ready. And I always like to pick quickly. And this is a great example of practicing some of these mock drafts. I think you might have mentioned it two or three shows ago. Pick quickly. I like that just because you're putting pressure on the guy behind you, and you're also sending a message to the guy in front of you. Man, I was ready. You let this guy go, bang, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't know. Sometimes I think you can pick a little bit too quickly. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's just a different strategy you can try. And on these mock draft sites, it's a lot of fun. And there's some chats in there that's kind of neat and interesting. So that's good. Drop us an email, too, if you want to get online in some mock drafts that are IDP. With the Fat Cat, we fool around with him a lot. We're like in our third mock draft now with that group of people, including IDP players. So that's a great way to get acclimated. And, of course, for including the rookies. Speaking of rankings, Chris, running backs right now, it's looking like Bell, Gurley, David Johnson, and Peterson, then your man Freeman. Are you comfortable with those top five guys right there like that?
I'm a little...
Not bad.
I'm worried about Freeman and Peterson, to be honest with you.
So expand on that a bit. Is that a guy like Doug Martin creeping into your mind, or a guy like Thomas Rawls, or Charles?
We don't even know who is going, or where Doug Martin's going. So that's he's out. He's at this point, with having no idea where he's going to go, I think that he's going way too high at this point. So be very careful with Doug Martin. Peterson, I think that Thomas Rawls is a guy who I'm definitely looking at. And I'm not going to take a top five running back, so it's kind of a moot point. Yeah. But, we can talk more about Peterson. I've got a note that I think is pretty interesting. But he's not getting any younger. He's over that magical age of 30 for running backs. I'm not spending a first-round pick on him.
Yeah, he carried the rock a boat. Martin, over about 15 drafts or so, Martin is second-round pick right now. Rawls still creeping. He's solidly in the third. He does hit the second round, so the Seattle heir apparent already getting a lot of pubs. So by July and August, it would be interesting to see where he falls. Why don't you lead us off with some news, my friend?
As a reminder, free agency starts Monday. Woo-hoo. As far as contact goes and all that good stuff. I had a hypothetical for you, Bob. Say you were meeting someone for the first time, maybe even interviewing them, but should be a pretty formal relationship.
Yep.
What's the first question that you ask them?
How will you fit into my organization?
How about, are you a homosexual? Because that's what the Falcons asked Eli Apple from Ohio State. They didn't say which coach it was, but it was not Dan Quinn, and it was one of his assistants at the scouting combine.
So I guess my follow-up to that would be, you know, every one of these organizations have a team psychologist, team therapist, and let's call them profilers to a degree on these surveys. Do you think that was a planted question?
I think that the NFL combine process is idiotic. The questioning process is idiotic. They asked Dez Bryant the Dolphins asked Dez Bryant if his mother was a prostitute. They asked Cam Newton if he'd rather be a cat or a dog. These questions are asinine. It's stupid. Yeah. And even if there's a psychologist who's telling you to ask this because they want to see how he reacts, then fire that psychologist, because these questions that are being asked are just so stupid. I can't believe that, we're parading these guys around in spandex and, you know, measuring them, weighing them, and asking them idiotic questions in the interview. It's so stupid that we're putting these, these are like 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
This is borderline illegal.
You would think that the profiling that went on 8 years ago when a guy was signing a $50 million contract would be way more over the top than what happens now, where the guys are controlled on a much more reasonable contract compared to that. And maybe they should start doing these questions for re-signing free agents.
Yeah, Greg Hardy got through the screening process, Bob.
Yeah, there you go.
He was a 6th-round pick, but I'd like to know what kind of questions Greg Hardy was asked.
He got through it. I like that. He got through it. Wow, what a great book. I wonder if we could get that. We could write that book.
Oh, you mean like answers from
combine
from crazy?
Answers. Yeah,
from crazy. Answers. So, yeah. Like, what were Charles Haley's responses to the combine questions? Charles seems to have cooled down in his older age, but Charles was pretty nuts there for a little while.
You could do all those guys, you know, Jack Lambert's answers, Charles Haley, Joe Montana. I mean, you could do the whole nine yards and be hashtag combine answers.
Okay.
Now you're getting me crazy.
Keenan Allen.
News.
Keenan Allen and the Chargers are working on a contract extension.
Yeah, well, it's good and bad news. I mean, we talk about there's always a lot of hype on contract years, and this is a player. There's some players, to me, it doesn't matter. So whether he signs or not, he's not going to move his draft position to me one bit. Fantastic player with a great year, with Wisenhunt coming back, offense coordinator, all arrows pointing up. But the key caveat is what you said last week. I really want the Chargers to get a nice quality number two to play opposite him to help.
More of a hypothetical for down the line, because Phil Rivers is going to be there this year. But if Philip Rivers were to not be the Chargers quarterback, because there's rumors that he does not want to play in LA, if he was not their quarterback, what does that do to Keenan Allen's value?
It's a pretty significant drop for me, because as we see every summer, the quarterback pool is pretty weak. It's probably a solid 1 to 2 round drop minimum.
Yeah, so he's not like a force of will player, right? He's not.
No.
He's not a guy like Alshon Jeffrey who just throw it in his general direction and he should be.
No Hopkins.
He's not Hopkins too. I think he would still be good. Don't get me wrong.
But the consistency won't be there. I mean, and one thing I'm going to talk about more this year in doing some of the early stat research is it's that week-to-week consistency players that really shined last year, really helped a lot of championships. You still need to sprinkle in the guys that come on and get hot, of course, and react to that. But your base team, having those guys that are plucking along every week, and Allen this year with a healthy Rivers, a healthy Allen, He'll be one of those guys every week who'll give you points.
How many teams do you think are interested in Robert Griffin III if he gets released?
Or when I'm excited he gets released? About this. The NFL needs quarterbacks. You need to take a chance on a guy like this. No question he should be picked up and developed. It's just where he goes. I'm going to say seriously, there's probably six teams that are serious about looking at him.
So Schefter says 10, and Mike Freeman says maybe even 15.
Yeah. As an athlete, he's 100% healthy. And I loved how he handled last year. I mean, there are players who come unglued with the way the Redskins dealt with him last year.
Would you rather have Case Keenum or Robert Griffin III if you're the Rams?
It's an easy and RG3, exactly. I think there's, like I said, there's probably four or five teams he's an upgrade with no improvement in his game.
Texans.
Yeah.
There's quarterbacks.
Texans, Browns, there are two obvious easy ones if he's willing to go there, but I don't think he would go to – I don't know. He might. Both are – Cleveland could fall in love with him. The whole deal with a team like Cleveland, which is interesting for him, if he goes there, has a couple good PR events and kind of gets a little bit of a connection, has a decent preseason and a nice couple games, the town could just totally embrace him, right?
Yeah, and
it would help.
Yeah, and it would be kind of weird because technically, he could have gone there anyway in the first place. St. Louis, or now L.A., is the same way where, they traded the pick that turned into him. So definitely some weird situation there.
How about quarterback whisperer? Like, I mean, a guy we've always liked what he does to offenses, but how about our good friend Andy Reid? How about being one more year as a quasi-backup to Alex Smith?
Yeah, I mean, it would be... That's why I guess I'm somewhat frustrated with Colin Kaepernick, is that he's not embracing this Chip Kelly
thing. Not one bit.
Which I understand that he hates Trent Baalke and he hates the organization for
that's what it is.
For really
cutting the team. Yeah.
They did not do themselves any favor with Colin Kaepernick during the season last year and the year before, leaking all those crappy stories about him. And I'm willing to bet that there's more than just Colin Kaepernick is a lax film watcher.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And not many other, you don't hear, oh, well, this person logged X amount of hours on their iPad studying film or studying the playbook.
No.
Whereas that information is readily available about Colin Kaepernick. The 49ers organization would very much like you to know that they are not the bad guy in this situation. And it's funny to keep that in mind of how people play the game with the media. And I wish Colin was embracing Chip Kelly a little bit more. I guess I understand that he's in a really bad spot. But to your point, RG3, if he can go to a good offensive mind, I think that would do go a long way to help him, not just this year coming up, but down the line.
Yeah, while you continue on, I'll look at the rankings I put up. I know RG3 is on there, so I'm kind of curious where I put him right now because I can't recall. But yeah, it's great for the NFL. We need quarterbacks. Come on, bring it. Come on, RG.
Martellus Bennett being shopped by the Bears. Injured at the end of last year, but he has been productive in these last few years with Jay Cutler. Yeah. There's a lot of tight end needy teams out there. Yep. So and there's a lot of teams with cap room. So I feel like if you strike out, everybody knows that you can't plug a rookie tight end and hope that he's going to produce like a tight end one. That just doesn't necessarily happen. They develop a lot slower. So can you see Martellus Bennett landing, being a tight end one somewhere, and being productive?
Oh, I think he's definitely going to be a tight end one. As far as on a team, as far as fantasy rounds, I'm not 100% on that because, some teams, the tight end one might get maxed out at 600 yards and that's it, four or five touchdowns. But he's going to land. I just don't know if the Bears are going to get what they want in a trade.
I don't think they're asking for much, to be honest with you.
So I do think he goes, and there's some teams where he would be lovely. I mean, he's an upgrade in for the Rams big time. He's an upgrade for the Giants big time. So I like that. He's going
to
play.
It's too bad. I think part of the reason why they're trying to trade him is because if they release him, and the Packers aren't big free agent players, but if a team like the Packers signed him,
oh,
yeah,
yeah, I can see why the Bears want to, you know, not keep Martellus Bennett around. He was an unproductive player, didn't develop any chemistry with Jay Cutler, didn't help move the ball at all. Definitely get rid of him.
And like I said, control where he's going to go. Bennett is – Martellus is – he's shown to be a somewhat spiteful player in the past.
Yeah. Anyways.
He could go to a rival pretty easily, you know. Andre Johnson was cut by the Colts. I was thinking about this. So that was just – he wasn't bad for the Texans the year before last.
No.
He looked out of place last year, but everybody on the Colts looked out of place last year. Did you see that fake punt that they tried to run against the Patriots? we've talked about the coaching staff having some issues, the front office having some issues, ownership clearly has some issues. Andre Johnson, he still wants to keep on playing. Is there a scenario that could get you, I'm not saying like fourth or fifth round excited about Andre Johnson, but maybe like 10th or 12th round excited about Andre Johnson?
Yeah, there is. If we get some nice reports, offseason conditioning, he's still very, very fit.
He was in good shape this year. The problem.
Yeah, we just make sure that continues is what I'm saying, that he sees a path for another good year. I really don't have a problem with it because, one, he was low mileage this year. And you're right. You're bringing up a good point. People are going to write him off. He could be a fantasy bargain, a nice flyer later in your draft. If he goes to a team with a passing quarterback, this guy's he's a warrior. Don't ever not think he's a warrior. He is a warrior player on a team that was horrible for a decade and still got it done. And he played for a team this year that was about as dysfunctional as you can get.
He could have made things real uncomfortable for the Texans 4 years ago. Because of how bad the situation was.
And he should have left then.
But he didn't.
We talked about that.
He was a professional about it. So
Didn't do him any favors.
He signed the contract, so he honored it. Speaking of the Texans, they released Arian Foster. Achilles injury. He's just turning 30. Where are we at on Arian Foster? I don't think he's going to get a big contract.
But... Well, where I'm at is you always give me a hard time for it, but he's just not a draftable guy to me. I think he's missed over one third of his games the last 3 years, and I don't care what offense line he's behind. That's not a player I'm going to take a flyer on.
He's certainly draftable, but he's not draftable in the traditional, I think he was going, the fourth or fifth round this year.
I don't even think he's made, where the heck is he going right now? I'll take a quick look.
He was going in the fourth round this past year. That's not where you take him, but I do think that there's a certain scenario in which you can take.
He's not in my. Yeah, I don't see him in the seventh, but in the seventh round, so he's after the seventh round right now.
I thought that this was hilarious. I can never say his first name for some reason, but Kelechi Osemele.
Yes,
from the awesome guard from the Ravens.
The Ravens. Boy, he's getting some serious discussions.
Yeah, that's why they redid, they extended Flacco, was because they want to bring him back. But you know, another team that's very interested in him?
Hopefully it's my Dolphins.
It is, Bob, but you know how bad their cap situation is.
Hopeless.
So if you sign Osemele, is it just going to be Ndamukong Suh, Osemele, and just 51 dudes that you went to high school with? Like, what's...
Yeah. Not a player the Dolphins can get.
How are they going to work this?
That's not a player the Dolphins could get, nor is it a player they should get, because exactly what you just said. They have to, confront the ugly beast in that mirror ourselves and make a legitimate plan for payroll control and get that team back on track, because they are some pieces away. And they're not going to do it with, I mean, come on, man. Look at the Jaguars' payroll and what they did with their team. Money does not equal production, guys.
Well, the Jaguars had to do that because they were so barren with that new regime that came in. I actually think that was kind of smart, just so that Blake Bortles wasn't thrown completely to the wolves, just to get NFL caliber players, even if you were overpaying for him for the last 2 years. I think that's pretty smart, and I think that they are gonna give Malik Jackson a stupid contract. Like, he's awesome. They're probably gonna overpay him by 20%. And in their position, I can't really dissuade them from doing it. I can't fault them for doing that, because they were previously run so poorly that they have nothing in the cupboard from draft picks from 3 and 4 years ago. So they need to get guys somewhere in addition to the draft, because just the draft is not enough for them right now.
As an example, the Dolphins have Jarvis Landry, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Rishard Matthews, and they're talking about working hard and offering good money to keep Matthews. That's crazy. I love Matthews too. He's a great talent. But you got to pick which three of those guys you're going to pay money to. And one of them's got to go. That's just the reality, because you need to spend some money at that offensive line position.
And Matthews. So
Matthews will not be a Dolphin.
No. Matthews is going to get paid too.
Yeah, he's gone.
Marvin.
Don't waste your time.
People are saying Marvin Jones is the number one wide receiver on the board.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? What do you think? I've watched him play in person, which is always nice to see a player in person too. I like him. He's definitely better than what his production has been to date. But man, the contract they're talking about him getting is off the charts.
You know why I think that you're talking about him being better than what he is?
Why?
Is because he plays next to A.J. Green.
Yeah, and there's definitely that influence.
A.J. Green is not on every team in the league.
No.
So, number one, paying him that kind of money, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's a tough pill to swallow. He is not a number one wide receiver. Is he Golden Tate? I've heard people kind of compare his situations to Golden Tate. Do you think he's as good as Golden Tate? I don't know.
6'2", 198. This is his fifth year, maybe fourth year. I think he had, I'm going to pull it up. I think he had 70 catches. 65 catches.
I don't know.
800 yards.
I don't know if he's as good as Golden Tate, man. I don't know if
he's a pretty good player.
He's good, but I do not know if he's as good as Golden Tate. I will put it
Tyler Eifert, Mohamed Sanu, A.J. Green, Jeremy Hill, Bernard, and then the Dalton factor, and Gresham for a lot of those years. It's like drafting they always want to draft rookies who are ascending. You don't want to draft a rookie when he's peaking, and it's the same thing with him. I don't think this guy has peaked. I don't think they've worked him as hard. And plus, come on, the Redskins. So, I mean, the Bengals, I'm sorry. No, I don't think he's a one. I think this guy's – I'm going to be in on this guy, and if he doesn't go way high – depending on the team he goes to, I'm very interested.
If he doesn't go to the Falcons,
that's a problem.
The Texans,
a problem. That's terrible. It's worse than being.
I'm just saying the teams with a definitive number one wide receiver.
How about I
think it's trouble. No,
Garcon leaves.
No,
you don't like that. I like him as the number two on the Redskins.
No,
I hate him on the Giants.
Yeah, it's. The Giants had better not spend money like idiots this offseason.
They're still linked to Sanu big time.
So. Sanu, I kind of like Sanu for them.
I like him too. He's a New England guy from Rutgers, played Rutgers, right? Yeah. And he's I don't put him far off from Jones. I think
you've been gone from New England for too long. New York and New Jersey are not parts of New England.
We call them New England now.
What is it? There's the tri-state area that New York is a part of, but. Yeah. New Jersey is not. They're part of the Atlantic Metro, correct?
I believe. It's New England.
Yeah, it's not New England.
Northeast.
It's
up not, there.
It's up the there. Northeast.
It snows a lot, man.
It's not. You got more snow than we did, pal.
I know. More frequently, but not in depth. It's in
depth. Jerick McKinnon is going to get more touches in 2016, according to Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. McKinnon, terribly talented on our sleeper list, which he still qualifies as a sleeper because Peterson pushes him down the board. McKinnon, probably one of the best backup running backs to get right now. Tons of talent. Great coach in Mr. Zimmer. Great coach in Mr. Turner. A older running back who I still love and is going fourth overall on average. But McKinnon, man, he was end of the year, right? He was plugging 60 to 100 yards, I think 4 weeks in a row or something like that, if I remember.
Yeah, he's a very talented guy, and at some point, this Adrian Peterson thing is going to end. He's 31. If you want to preserve him as long as you possibly can, you should sprinkle more and more Jerick McKinnon out there on your offense.
So new 6'2", 210. It was Rutgers. Also fifth year. That's interesting. That's really interesting.
I like Sanu.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Not as, you know... lights out fantasy player or anything like that, but I think you got a value on the right team.
Low mileage, brother. Low mileage on this guy.
Yeah, and you can do trick stuff with him. You can throw the ball. Jeff Janis, Bob.
Ooh, still loving him, but they're going to kill me. He's going to go and,
Mike McCarthy called him an ascending player this past week. What?
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, Mike McCarthy.
Listen to the show.
Mike McCarthy didn't play this guy 15% of the snaps in 2015. It's like he had that game against the Cardinals, and all of a sudden a light bulb went off in Mike McCarthy's head and said, "Oh, hey, look at that guy. He's pretty good. You watched him in practice the entire frickin' year. Like, why was it just one game that made you think, oh, now I think Jeff Janis is pretty good? Mike McCarthy just befuddles me. I don't understand.
Well, I think he liked you on Twitter and listened to our podcast 2 weeks ago. That must be it. Now, I love Janis, and, you know, of course, out in the Louisville League we'll be drafting at, and others down at Bowling Green heading to Vegas, there's a pretty good contingent that comes from the cheese state up there, Chris. And I'd like to try to stay away from any leagues that those guys are in, because Janis is going to go very high in those rounds.
Yeah, it's not as if their wide receivers were lights out this season. I just don't understand what
Nelson, Cobb, and Janis. I'm buying in 100%, and I'm good with it. I'm loving the Packers this year.
You want to know who's very dependent on the Packers not getting a number one tight end?
Who?
Jeff Janis.
Mm-hmm.
Because that third wide receiver.
Yeah.
If they have a tight end, it's not an easy road for a tight end and three wide receivers to be productive in the passing.
Take a look at that team, that offensive line, the depth issues they had on offensive line this year. And you've got those three wide receivers with a couple other guys behind them. You can move the ball. You don't even need Eddie Lacy. I'm just being truthful.
You know,
you just don't. You just don't.
You know what I love this offseason? It's right about this time, too. The Boston Globe did this, too, earlier, probably 2 weeks ago. But the New York Daily News said that the Giants might consider parting with Ryan Nassib in a trade, basically. And the Globe did the same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I mean, when has this worked out? I mean, Castle had one good season, but you got to see him play for an entire season before then.
Firsthand, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when has just a straight backup been traded? Was the last one Whitehurst? And that was a stupid trade.
Yeah, it could be. I think what people forget, I don't know how they forget it, but that quarterback, his production is tied to the people helping him develop. It really is in that relationship. So you remove a guy like Nassib, who's maybe he's flourishing right now with that giant coaching snap, and he's clicking, and with Manning too, in course, and players, and you put him in a brand new spot. It's not like you just skipped one song on the album or the disc and you go to the next one. You got to integrate. You got to learn. You got to build relationships. I think it sets an organization back.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I guess I hadn't necessarily thought of that.
Doesn't mean the guy's not wicked talented. It doesn't mean he's not a great sign. But the problem is, then you load on top of it the expectation, hey, we've got our quarterback. Yeah, let's go. No, it's not like that. Particularly for a guy like you just pointed out, who hadn't started, has had the ups and downs with the pressure of winning and losing. And that's debilitating. That's crushing. I'm sure it's crushing to feel you cost the team four games in the first eight because you threw 12 interceptions, right? So unlike a guy like RG3, who has seen all the crushing press that can happen to you and media and fan pressure, these guys like Nassib and Garoppolo, they've never had that pressure. All they've had is good things, right?
Garoppolo, to be fair, and Nassib were starters in college.
Yes.
So they have had not NFL level pressure, but
I'd love to see it under pressure. The Eagle fan pressure. How about some Eagle fan pressure?
Oh no, I don't think that's what we want to throw them into. I don't think that's. Hey,
but speaking of Eagles, I had to do this to you. Your man Sam Bradford, $36 million.
Yeah, I mean that's been. I don't even know what to say about that. It's $36 million guaranteed, right? Or is it 18 guaranteed or something like that?
25, 26, or 27 guaranteed. Yeah.
It's insane. I don't really know what else to say other than it's insane. Louis Riddick from ESPN, he is saying that he would not be shocked if he saw Ezekiel Elliott go in the top five, particularly to the Dallas Cowboys at number four.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Guy off the chart talented.
He's good, but that is nuts. Top five for a running back. I mean, listen.
Just anyone surprised me.
As someone who owns the number one overall pick in a couple of rookie drafts.
Oh, yes.
This is fantastic news. But because Man, oh man, can you get a king's ransom if there is a highly touted running back on the board when you're picking top in the rookie draft? You can fleece some people.
You need a team that's ready. So quick question then, because I've got Zeke ranked, Ezekiel Elliott or Eddie Lacy?
Stop. It's Elliott. It's not even close.
Or C.J. Anderson.
I mean, if Elliott goes to Dallas in that example.
No, right Elliott, now, don't know where he goes. Right, Ezekiel Elliott, Eddie Lacy.
Elliott.
Okay, and I'm sorry, two more. C.J. Anderson.
Elliott.
Mark Ingram.
Elliott.
Murray.
Elliott.
DeMarco Murray.
Elliott.
So I've got Elliott 11. I'm going to give you some guys ahead of him. T.J. Yeldon.
No.
Okay, Jamal Charles.
Yep.
Thomas Rawls.
Yep.
Doug Martin.
Yeah.
Okay. So you put him up maybe a couple more spots than I have him at 11. So
yeah.
Like end up with him at like 8.
He's pretty talented. Him and Harvey both.
Yep.
Good running backs. Nice. We're kind of wrapping up here, but I wanted to point out there was a story about Josh Gordon from the Akron Beacon Journal talking about how he got up to 250 or 255 pounds. So think about this though, Bob. Gordon is 6'4 or 6'5.
He's a big guy, yeah. 220, easy.
This was pretty much, he walks around at 230 pounds.
Listen to me judge somebody.
Yeah.
This is
what I'm saying. He walks around at 230 pounds, right? Yeah. You are a professional athlete, and because of his one-year suspension, he is not allowed on team grounds.
And he's not getting paid, and he's getting paid to go work out.
Yeah, and so exactly. All of a sudden, you got to pay. I can imagine that Josh Gordon is used to a slightly higher caliber gym than Gold's. So you probably have to pay more than 20 or 25 bucks a month if you're Josh Gordon to get all the equipment that you need to keep yourself in shape. Probably pretty bummed out. So gaining 20 pounds isn't that far.
When was that report and when was he rumored to be at that weight?
It was just as the season was starting, basically, as a teammate saw him. Dante Whitner. Dante Whitner saw him just as the season was starting. So he's lost it all. He's back down to his playing
weight. He has lost it all. Yeah. Wow. That's great.
But he was probably pretty bummed out. He was probably pretty bummed out and didn't have access to the gym anymore. So keep that in mind when you see, he was 250 pounds. It's like, well, number one, he's a pretty big guy, and that's only 20 pounds for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep that in mind. All right. Anything else, Bob, before we leave?
That's it. I'm kind of wondering where I've got Gordon now in my rankings, too, because I've gotten him on some of those mock drafts. I'm a little worried that I have been going a little bit early on him. I have him 25 on my wide receiver rank.
I can see that. I'd have to look at it a little bit closer. But
I got him after Sanders, which makes me nervous, but after Floyd, which I'm okay with. And I don't know if he should be after Golden Tate.
All right.
Anyways, good show, man. Thanks for the news. I'm getting very excited for free agency. Get us out of here.
Like we said, we'll figure free agency out and talk to you guys at allpurposeroto, allpurposeroto@gmail.com with questions. We will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, everybody.